It is the 12th of March and the world is ending, right? It's we're down. I mean, is it really that bad? We've lost not even 11,000, 12,000. Could be a whole lot worse. Remember, one day, October 19th, 1987, they lost 23%. That means we would have been down to 77,000 in one day. So this is more along the lines of a typical, what there's no such thing as a typical bear market. But hey, we're not doing as bad as it could be. I think they're worse. Let's take a look at them. The investment club. Yeah, well, somebody wanted to invest in Boeing. That wasn't my idea. Because they figured, you know, it's beaten down, right? But they're going to beat it some more. Beat it some more. Yeah, and again, somebody wanted to invest in something that was beaten down, and it got beaten down even more. It's called catching a falling knife. Okay, so today we're going to review, we're going to just slide over the stock characteristics that I asked you to do on your own, and I know you all did it, right? Nod your head yes. You lied to me. Tell me nice, nice. Oh, good, good. So we'll do stock worksheet number two. And then we'll go through the stock types. We want to do that today because that's important for our assignment. And then, I'm not sure if we'll get to investment strategies, but we will show you how to use Zoom because next week we're not here, right? We're going to be online. So if you want to do things online this is the thing. You can use Canvas. Did I show you Canvas already? I did show you Canvas already, didn't I? Maybe I didn't. I'll show you Canvas. But also, we're going to use Zoom. I don't know if you ever used it before, but I got my laptop. And sometime during our presentation here, we want you to go to your app store and download Zoom, the teleconferencing application.
All right, you already have the meeting number or not yet?
Yeah, I'm going to show you how to get there. I already have the meeting number. It's on my website, and it's in Canvas. You just click on it and it'll start it up for you automatically. But the first time, it's going to say, we're going to download this application. Is that okay with you? And you're going to say yes because they're a legitimate company. All right? So, who's got a good joke for the end of the world? Any end of the world jokes? You had some at the end of the world jokes? Okay. Are we almost ready? You want to do the last bar joke? We'll transition to the battle of the sexes jokes using a bar joke. So this guy walks into a bar. Have you heard this one before? And he's really sad. And the bartender says, "Hey, buddy, what's wrong? Why are you so sad?" He said, "Oh, man, my wife and I had a terrible knockdown, drag-out fight. And she told me she wasn't going to speak to me for a whole month." And the bartender said, "Oh, that's so sad." The guy said, "Yeah, the month is up tonight." And then there's another guy at the other side of the bar. He said, "Well, I haven't talked to my wife. It's been about, 4 or 5 months now." And they said, "What's wrong?" He said, "Nothing. She just doesn't like it if I interrupt her." Don't worry, ladies. We'll have against men. We'll have against men jokes. We want to insult everybody by the end of the semester. Okay, so we got Aaron Ramirez. Who's this? Arg. Giovanni? Luis Marquez. I knew I saw somebody. Okay. So let's get started on worksheet number two. Now, before we do that, let's just run quickly through the slides that you all looked at over the last couple of days. And that was stock spinoffs, stock splits, treasury stocks, the classifications of stocks, and a few of the common stock values, the par value, the book value, the market value, and then dividends, because dividends are very cool, and we're going to learn how to calculate earnings per share, although you just look it up, and the dividend yield, again, you just look it up, and then we talk about the important stock dates. So you're going to go through that. One thing that is very important is that there are two different types of dividends, cash dividends and stock dividends. Now, you should study this because it's going to be on the exam and you're supposed to know it. But the most important thing is you want cash dividends. Now, here's the tricky part. you can get what's called a dividend reinvestment plan, which is, it looks as if you're doing getting stock dividends. No, you know, stock dividends are not something you want. You don't want them, and go through the presentation to learn why. But dividend reinvestment plans are actually very cool because you identify companies, hopefully large companies, with their roots deep in the economy, which are going to make up your core portfolio. And many of these companies allow you to buy their shares directly from them. Now, they don't do it. What?
Is it cheaper?
Well, it now, considering that that commissions are so cheap, it used to be that they would charge you. I'll show you really quick. They would charge us 3 cents every once in a while, or 6 cents. You know, really, really nothing. But I'm sure we got a much better deal than if you go through Robinhood. So here's the dividend reinvestment plan. Because Robinhood doesn't charge anything. Ha, 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 ha.
Are they getting sued?
Because of the disclosure?
Yeah.
Well, what happens here? This is Sempra Energy. And dividend reinvestment plans are actually pretty cool. If a company, is that SDG&E going anywhere?
No.
People going to take cold showers in the dark? No. And so I belong to the Cockatoo Grove Investment Partnership. I was an investment club. You know where Cockatoo Grove is? You're sitting on it. Before Southwestern was Southwestern, this whole area was called Cockatoo Grove. And every once in a while on a map, especially on the internet maps, you'll see Cockatoo Grove. And people go, what the hell is that? So we called it Cockatoo Grove. And we go to SDG&E. And what you do is you go to their website and you'll see this link, Investor Relations. Now, they don't do it. Somebody else does it for them. In this case, it's called Equiserve. It's a company that does it for them. And so when you buy them, you buy them directly from SDG&E. They're not issuing new stock. They're not diluting the stock. This is stock that's out there that they're buying and selling to you. And then when they have a dividend, they purchase more shares. And notice we're getting a little bitty shares. We're getting 0.368 shares. So it makes your stocks look like a mutual fund. Now, these stocks are typically the ExxonMobils, the Walmarts, the big companies. The smaller companies, the fast-growing companies, they don't typically do this. But IBM and the old companies, they do this. Okay, cool? And then price-to-earnings ratio. So let's do the calculations. So we're going to skip the presentation and go right to the worksheet. So I've made some extras. For some of you who conveniently, I don't know what happened to my Chapter 5 packets. So I got some extra Chapter 5 packets. And remind me, who needs a Chapter 5 packet from Tuesday? Anybody need a Chapter 5 packet? Okay. So this is worksheet number 2. Right? Okay. So we're going to do these three calculations, which are very, very simple. And again, you just look them up, part of Chapter 5 assignment. You need one?
Yeah.
Let me get up there. Before I do that, let's take a look at the, I should rearrange these because this is what we're going to do next. Let's take a look at some of these stocks. Where do you believe they would be? On the New York Stock Exchange, the NASDAQ, the Amex, or the OTC Bulletin Board, or Pink Sheets? So where do you think Microsoft would go? Yeah, they're a tech company, and they started on the NASDAQ, and then when they got large enough, the New York Stock Exchange said, hey, come on over to us. We got the symbol M just for you. And what did they say? Oh, no, thanks. We're happy with the NASDAQ. So the New York Stock Exchange, what are you talking about? And so, yeah, they're NASDAQ. And, of course, you check to make sure. GE, where do you think they would be? General Electric, been around for 140 years? Don't worry, you're not going to be tested. Where do you think a big company like GE would be? Yeah, New York Stock Exchange, right. Now, where would Flim Flam Incorporated be?
OTC.
What does Flim Flam mean? ¿Cómo se dice en español? Travesuras? Talk to me.
What do they sell?
But they sell bacon stretchers. And yeah, bacon stretchers, and they're going to be really, really big. And actually, now they're starting to sell marijuana, right?
And
yeah, OTC. These are companies that are not real companies, And I know you don't believe me, but there are thousands of them out there that are ready to take your money and rape you. How about AMD, Advanced Micro Devices? Who are they? They're the competitor to Intel, right? My apologies, I'm walking around with my arm up in the air. You're probably, what the hell is he doing? I have a pinched nerve, and the most comfortable position is standing with my arm up in the air. I can't lay down for very long. I can't sit down for very long. Yeah, you would think they're on the tech, right? Well, you better check, because they're actually on the New York Stock Exchange. Or at least they used to be. Let's see where they are now. Because remember, what we do is we just go to Yahoo or wherever you want to go and type AMD, and you see, they moved to the NASDAQ. So I think I have it on my, I have it on here. Oops, up, 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 up. Yeah, see, they used to be in New York Stock Exchange. Now they're on the NASDAQ. So that's what's going on. The NASDAQ said, ooh, come over to us. And they said, oh, all right. So now you got a two-horse race. What about the Diamond ETF? What is the Diamond ETF? ETF, what does that stand for? Everyone should say? Everyone should say Exchange Traded Fund. The diamonds are the ones that track the Dow, because the symbol for the Dow is DIA, so they call them diamonds. You got spiders, you got cubes. Cubes are for the NASDAQ, because the symbol for the NASDAQ is QQQQ. So they call them cubes. And so where do they sell? Where do ETFs sell?
They're everywhere,
right. They're everywhere, but we always put down Amex, American Exchange, because that's where they started. But they're sold everywhere now. They're such a big market for them. And then International Paper, what do you think they make? Paper. And when you make paper, you also make wood products. They're byproducts of each other. When you cut down lumber, I'm not very limber. When you cut down lumber and you make it into lumber, cut down trees and make it into lumber, you also make paper at the same time. So they're a old company, been around a long time. Where do you think they'd be? You don't have to be right. Don't worry about it. The bulletin boards? Pink sheets? No, they're New York Stock Exchange. They're the old blue chip company. Okay, cool. Now, let's go down to the important one. Widgets Incorporated is selling for $52. Its earnings last year were $3.75 a share. So the earnings per share, if we were to look at each individual share of stock, what they do is they take the total amount of earnings and divide it by a number of shares of stock. Right? So the market price is $52. That's what it's selling for. And they earned $3.75. Now, they're paying us a dividend for every share that we have. They're paying us a dividend of $1.85. Now, remember, in the United States and countries that used to be a part of the UK, the British Empire, we pay quarterly. So they pay $1.85 divided by 4. What is the price-to-earnings ratio? 16. P divided by E. P-E, you'll see it written as P-E or P/E. We take the price and we divide it by the earnings. Is that tough? Can you pull that one off? Got your calculators? I left my water bottle in the office. That was dumb. Dum da dum dum. Is my report? Yay. Okay. So what'd you get? You guys got the calculators? Remember, get a 99-cent calculator. Don't even have to use your smell phone. What? 0.49. Did you do price divided by earnings? Price is $52 divided by 3.75. Right. So $52 divided by 3.75 is about 13.87. Now, don't put a dollar sign. Don't put a percent sign here, because PE is unitless. If you do, I'll just cross it off. But it's not. I'm not going to give you mark it wrong. But PE is unitless because the dollars cancel. And is that typical? About 14 PE? Well, PEs range anywhere from the mid-single digits upwards of huge amounts of PEs. Some companies have PEs, in the, well, not anymore. The prices are falling. So it's a quotient, isn't it? How do you make it bigger? You either make the price a whole lot higher or you make the earnings a whole lot lower. And so in this case, 14 is, yeah, it's typically average. Yeah?
How does that PE help me making a better decision?
Well, it's the most popular. Let's go back to the presentation real quick. Let's go back to the presentation. It's the most popular. Come on, sweetheart. It's the most popular statistic. We're going to come back to PE when we get to chapter 6 and then 17. So we're going to come back to this because it's pretty subtle. Think about it this way. Traditionally, stocks sold for PE ratios of 5 to 14 and PEs of 20 were only reserved for the fastest growing stocks. So if your company was growing fast and the PE of 20 was okay, 25 or so, and then if you were a slow-growing company or maybe not even growing, you know, PE of 5 to 12 or 15, 14 was okay. But, you know, there are times in late 1920s and late 1960s and then throughout the 1980s and 90s and then now when PEs just go through the ceiling. And so what does it tell you? The higher the PE, the more investors believe the future for this company is cool, is exciting, is something we want to be a part of. Now, the lower the PE, the less investors are enthused about the future prospects of that company. Now, are they right? Well, we don't know, right? You pay your money, you take your chances. We'll find out in 3 years. So you want to take a look at some of our companies in our portfolio? What are their PEs? Okay, where did it go? Here it is. So who do we have here? Who do we have in our portfolio? Where is our portfolio? Yeah. So if we take a look at fundamentals, I mean, they might even have the PE there. Price to book, they don't have price, I don't see, oh, forward, they have the forward PE. But look at Coca-Cola. What's the PE for Coca-Cola? 20, it's kind of hard to see. Let's just go look at it. Let's go look at Coca-Cola. Okay, so that's one of the things we're asking you to look up. They're calling that TTM stands for trailing 12 months. That's what last 12 months. And then the other one that we saw on the previous slide, you saw it was 20. They're saying this is what we think it's going to be the next year. They don't know because we don't, you know, it's the future. But so is Coca-Cola are people kind of excited about Coke's prospects? It's over 20. Yeah, they're pretty excited. In fact, a few days ago it was a lot higher. A few days ago, a lot of them were higher. How about let's take a look at AT&T, ever hear of them? And Verizon, symbol for T is telephone. AT&T, the symbol, is telephone. And what's their PE? Can you see that? What's their PE? Yeah, 17, 16.98. So people are not that excited. How about somebody like Ford? What symbol is F? What's their PE? In this case, it's not that they're really exciting. What happened is the earnings plummeted. So you see, how do you make a quotient bigger? You raise the numerator or you lower the denominator. So in this case, that's an anomaly too. That's trailing 12 months. If we looked at the future 12 months, they'll probably say, oh, no, it's not that bad. But how about somebody like Amazon? See, I've been doing my best. Oh, look, the PE has come down. The Amazon PE was way over 100, and now it's now it's only 74. Oh my goodness, what a bargain! Because for a while there it was over 200, and then over 100. So you see the differences? The PE is subtle, but the higher that is, the more investors are excited about the prospects. But at the same time, there's more risk. Because if the earnings don't grow, If the earnings don't keep growing, there's a whole lot farther for them to fall. The parachutes had better be very large. Questions, thoughts? Is that piece of cake? We're going to come back to PE, so don't worry. Okay, now what about the dividend payout ratio? The dividend payout ratio is a very, again, these are very simple ratios, is equal to the dividends divided by the earnings. And I'm surprised some of the online students said, what is that symbol? What is this? What is this symbol? They don't, it's like, well, look at your calculator. Oh, okay. Because I guess they're not used to seeing it in a document. They see it on their calculator, but they don't see it in their document. So what are the dividends? $1.85. What is the earnings? $3.75. And so what is that? What are they paying? 0.49, whatever. So about 49. Now you can change it to a percent here. Don't put 0.49%. That's not right. This is 49%. So this company is paying out about half of their earnings in dividends. And you accountants, you know what that means, right? Remember, when we get earnings, we can then distribute them to the shareholders, or we can retain those earnings. Now, companies that are growing fast tend to retain all their earnings. Why? Because they need to reinvest in the company. But other companies, like utilities, they don't need all their earnings, so they give them out in the form of dividends, and they usually have higher payout ratios. And then the last one, dividend yield, very important because dividends don't lie, is equal to the dividends divided by the price. I hope you can read my writing. And so what are the dividends? $1.85. And what were the price is $52. 0.0357. So about 3.6%, which is, you know, pretty on the high side these days. Some companies pay very good dividends, 4 or 5%. Others pay 1, 2, or less. So is that easy? And again, we just look it up. We just look it up. Actually, I don't think Amazon's paying anything, are they? No, they're not paying any dividends yet. But who is? Ford was paying dividends, weren't they? AT&T. Whoa, look at that dividend. 10%. What does that mean? That means it's probably going to be cut. The fact that they've been paying 10%, 60 cents on, oh man, their stock got hammered. Oh my gosh. It was about $10 just a few weeks ago. Let's look at the 6 month. Yeah, look at that. Not quite 10 bucks, but look at that. Woo-hoo-hoo. And do you think Ford's going to go bankrupt? Look at their earnings. See, their earnings are penny. See, can they continue to pay 60 cents in dividends when their earnings were a penny a share? No, they can't do that. So that's why people are thinking, nah, you're not going to get 10% going forward. Cool. Okay, good. Well done. So now let's go back to the presentation and take a look at the different types of common stocks. By the way, before, because I'm going to forget, don't let me forget to give you the chapter 6 packets, okay? Because I'll forget. Okay, so now we're going to take a look at the types of common stocks. So let's, I'll leave this guy up. We'll leave this guy up and we'll do this over here. Often, blue stocks. Everybody's blue these days. Often you'll hear people say, you know, especially people who haven't taken business 123, oh, they're all the same. Those companies are all crooks. Those people on Wall Street, those companies are all the same. Nothing could be further from the truth. Absolutely nothing could be further from the truth. Every company is different. Now, there are categories of companies that often companies fit nicely into, and sometimes they don't. And sometimes they fit in one or two or three categories. So these are the major categories. And when you read One Up on Wall Street, Peter Lynch does a very good job of describing these categories. So blue chips. What are blue chip stocks? We've already made mention of these, right? Sometimes you see a mutual fund, you know, the Frunobulax Blue Chip Growth Fund or something like that. What are blue chip companies? Right, they're the companies with their roots deep in the economy, the Johnson & Johnsons of the world, the GMs. Well, GM, is it a blue chip stock anymore? Yeah, it's still a big company. Home Depots of the world now. You know, Apple and Google and Facebook have made it into this world because they're so huge. Whereas companies like Coca-Cola say, well, we've been around for 120 years, 130, well, more than that, like 1880s, right? And Google says, yeah, we're a whole lot bigger than you. So they attract conservative investors. Now, wait a minute. Is this anything to do with politics, conservative versus liberal? No. No, don't confuse the two. This is people who want to, these are people who want to invest in stocks, but don't want the Netflix of the world or the Amazons, the companies that are high-flying with huge PEs. They are sometimes referred to as value stocks, but be careful, that trap that we talked about that we'll discuss again, value versus growth. Then, so ExxonMobil, Johnson & Johnson, they're not going anywhere. They're not going to explode on the upside. They're not going to become, you know, 10 baggers, as Mr. Peter Lynch calls them. They're not going to jump 10 times in a short period of time. The next category are income stocks. Oh, where does the name blue chip come from? Anybody know? Here's a bit of trivia. You see, before the 1920s and 30s, the teeming masses, we grunts, little people, we did not own stocks. It was gentlemen. It wasn't even women either. Women didn't own stocks. Gentlemen owned stocks. And gentlemen gambled, because that's what a gentleman did. It was part of, you know, gentlemen's, you went to the gambling tables. And I know it's a different world. Thankfully, you know, things get better. And so the blue chips were the most expensive chips at the gambling tables. Anybody go to Vegas these days? I think the black ones are the most expensive now. Is that true? The black ones? No, you don't know. I don't know either. Confucius, 2,500 years ago, said, "He who gambles picks his own pocket." How's that? Now we have to say, "A person who gambles picks their own pocket." Okay. So that's where that comes from. Now, income stocks are stocks with long and sustained records of paying higher than average dividends. Again, you'll often hear them referred to as value stocks. These are normally slow growth companies in mature industries. Some of them are blue chips, some of them aren't. But the poster child for this are utilities. Are utilities going to go anywhere? Are they going to get supplanted by a competitor going to come in and knock down SDG&E off their throne? No, it ain't going to happen. But are they going to explode on the upside? No. So what they do is they pay out a lot of their money that they're earning in the form of dividends. And this was, for many years, banks. Banks used to be very boring. And how do we know a bank is making money? The doors are open. When you grow up, you want to be a bank. That's for certain. But then they started getting innovative and exciting and started doing things that they weren't supposed to be doing with our money. And they made boneheaded maneuvers. And some of them didn't pay dividends for a while. But now they're becoming boring again. So you can count on a bank like J.P. Morgan Chase or Wells Fargo to screw you. I mean, to pay you good dividend. But if you're a customer, I feel sorry for you. Okay, where's my thing? I don't even know where my thing is. Here it is. All right, the next group are growth stocks. Now, these are the stars, right? They got the gorgeous teeth and the $200 haircut and the pecs. These are stocks that are experiencing high rates of growth in operations and earnings. Growth rates of 15 to 20% or higher. Now, that doesn't sound like much, right? But if you're growing at 20% in 3 years, you're going to be twice your size. So that's a big deal. They're often associated with high PEs. Why? Because investors are enthusiastic about their prospects. They often pay no dividends at all or a very small token amount. Most of the profits are reinvested back in the company. The stock price should go up because the company's getting larger, but it's going to be volatile. It's going to be a bumpy ride. And so let's take a look at some examples. Intel, Microsoft, wait a minute, are these still growth stocks? Are these companies still growing? Yeah, but not like they were 20 years ago, right? Actually, Microsoft is, they're not growing Windows that much anymore, but they're growing their Azure, their cloud-based system. They're getting people to, instead of buying, you know, a software program, they're getting people to sign up for services, and they're using their cloud to do that. So a lot of people are now, they don't even use their hard drive anymore. Everything's on their. Whereas Google doesn't charge you a dime for that. So who are the growth stocks now? Come on, you hear about these things all about. Tesla, right, of course, Tesla. Farsbook, Titter, right? I'm sorry? Facebook, right, Facebook. Or Fibbook, actually, it should be called Fibbook, because they're all fibs, all lies. Right, those are the growth stocks, and they're going to have, we didn't take a look at Facebook. Let's take a look at Facebook's. Titter is having a hard time making money, because the people don't usually like to click on their ads, but Farsbook is making tons of money. FB. Notice they're on the NASDAQ. Titter's on the, by the way. Oh, wow. Yeah, so they've come down a lot, too. Let's take a look at their 6-month. Now might be a good time. What is this, 6 month? So it was at 222. Wow. Just a little month ago, you know, 6 weeks ago, and now it's at 158. I don't know. You live on Facebook, right? I can't stand it. I don't want anything to do with it. I created a Facebook account called Wonder Professor just because I didn't want anybody to steal my name, right? And when I created the, whatever it's called, the wall, I said, I do not use Facebook. This is how to get in touch with me. I got 59 friend requests. One from my ex-girlfriend from college.
Oh, okay.
No, we talk. We still talk every once in a while. So hey, woo, Facebook, right? Now might be a good time to buy Facebook. I don't know. I don't want to use them, but I might want to buy their stock. Okay, now, so here's where we discuss this value thing. You got to be careful. We discussed it just a little bit when we discussed mutual funds, because you'll sometimes see the value fund, the blue chip value fund or something like that. The investment world loves to throw around these terms, growth and value. But the meanings of the terms are not exact. Typically, investors use growth to designate a high PE stock. And they use the term value to designate a low PE stock. But to me, that's not right. To me, value means something that I'm interested in, something that's attractive. A high PE stock might be attractive. I mean, if they're really doing as well as people think they are, then yeah. A low PE stock might be low because it deserves to be low. So you have to be careful about what's sometimes called a value trap, or that low PE trap. They call it a trap. So here's an example. In January of 2005, Google had just gone public in August 2004, and the stock had gone from 84 to 200. So people said, oh my goodness, you know. The PE, I think, was about 66 or 67. And the old GM was selling for $34 with a very low PE and a huge dividend. I forget exactly what the dividend was, but it was close, I think, to 10%. And there were people saying, well, you know, GM, if they don't do something, they're going to go in bankruptcy. I was one of them. If they don't do something, they don't change their way, the next recession, they're going to go through bankruptcy. And I was one of them, but you know, who listens to me? But I wasn't the only one. And I remember the CEO, what was his name? Oh, darn. Saying, what's all this talk about bankruptcy? We don't want to hear it. Today, Google sells for around 2,100 split adjusted with a much lower PE. Let's take a look at Google's PE. And the old GM stock When it went through bankruptcy, it was first named Liquidation Motors, and GM said, come on, can you do better than that? So they changed the name to Motors Liquidation. Last sold for 4 cents in March of 2011. So which one was the better value? You see what I'm saying? Obviously, Google was the better value. Even though it had high PE and people wouldn't call it a value stock, they would say, oh, no, it's a growth stock, which it was. It's a growth stock, but there was value there. So in my humble opinion, please be careful. In fact, let's take a look at Google. Let's take a look at how's Google. 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 Yeah. Look at that. It was selling for $1,500. Now it's selling for $1,100. Wow. With a PE of 22? Folks, there's bargains to be made. Unless the world ends and it doesn't matter where your money is. Okay, now, speculative stocks. Often associated with growth, stocks are speculative stocks. These are companies typically that don't have any earnings. They got this new technology, or they just opened up 1,200 Shake Shacks or whatever the darn things are. What are they called? Yeah, Subway. Right. I think Subway was private though. But yeah, Subway, where they opened up all these new stores or whatever. They're typically losing money or have very low earnings relative to their valuation. Often there's a possibility of substantial capital gains, or more likely substantial capital losses. So biotech, internet, alternative fuels, marijuana. Anyone want to buy Tesla stock? Well, before you do, have you heard of GoBroke?
Yep.
What's it called? GoPro. GoPro. Let's take a look at GoPro. Tesla has turned out to be one of the success stories. But if you watch Tesla stock, you'll see it dropped 50% several times. But let's look at GoPro. GoPro, and let's take a look at the last maximum. Look at that. It went from about $40 up to $80, and this was the new thing. And one of my students was saying, I'm really excited about GoPro. And I kept saying, well, you know, it's a camera. It fits on your helmet or it fits on your whatever, your skis or whatever. It's not like other people aren't making cameras. Why isn't Samsung and Canon and Apple, why aren't they getting into this market? Probably because they looked at it and said, well, it's not that big a market, right? How many people are out there jumping out of airplanes with a camera on their head? And it turns out, obviously, they were right. The stock then plummeted when it turned out that everybody had bought one already. And now they're trying, or at least they were. This is when they were trying to turn it into a media company. Anybody follow GoPro? You were supposed to, yeah.
I don't follow them, but I was working at Guitar Center when they were doing that push, and it was the most annoying.
Yeah, they were pushing it. You were going to publish your.
Yeah, they were trying to make it so like anything you did could go viral as long as you used their product, and we had a lot of their products integrated with our shit, so I had to try to bundle it with everything, even though.
And it turned out to be.
Yeah, it ruined a lot.
Vaporware.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so now you can get it for $2.66. So remember that, folks. Speculative stocks can make you very wealthy if you sell at the right time, or you hit the right one. You hit a Tesla, or you hit a, you know, a, who else did that? Who?
Bitcoin.
No, Bitcoin is you can't own Bitcoin. It's like the internet. It's distributed. But there are companies that are trying to make money off the Bitcoin. And the marijuana stocks, you know somebody's going to make money off. Somebody's going to do it. I don't think it's going to be any of the ones that are now. I don't know. Because first of all, it's got to become legal. Can you imagine trying to do business without a bank? Can you imagine how difficult it is carrying around that much cash? It just doesn't make any sense. And even though California has made marijuana legal, it's the black marketers that are actually making the more money than the legal folks. Anybody know this? Anybody play with this? Yeah?
Pretty much, like, I think it's legal in California, but depending on the cities, like Chula Vista, none of the marijuana It isn't legal right now.
Right, you can't dispense. There's no dispensaries.
The private ones, like the ones that do deliveries, for the most part, their licenses are legit. But the ones that actually have the actual stores, none of them have legal licenses. That's why you heard the green lady that had the pretty much the rundown with the police. All of them pretty much are just standing barely there because they have money, and there's a lawyer that's just helping them to be able to stand up.
Right. So it's the black marketers are saying, well, we're not going to deal with you idiots. We're going to just sell it on the side and make more money. So it has to become legal at the federal level. And who do I think, I'm not mean I'm right, but who do I think is going to sweep up? Philip Morris, Altria, British American Tobacco, Marlboro, Camels, all those people. They're the ones who are going to just walk in because do they know? Do they know how to make stuff that's puffs and smokes and stuff? Yeah, we'll see. Okay, now, here's an interesting company type. Cyclical. How are we doing for time? Not bad. Cyclical. Are these companies that are round? No, that's a joke. You didn't laugh. That's okay. Not a very good joke. These are stocks that typically follow the business cycle. When the economy is growing, they do well. When the economy goes into recession, they get hammered. And the poster child for this are automobiles. When the economy's growing, people are getting jobs, their salaries are rising, what do? They got more money in their pocket? Go out and buy a new car. What's wrong with your old car? Nothing, but I like that new car smell. It's good for your liver, your brain cells. When the economy goes into recession, do people buy new cars? Anybody work in a car dealership when that happened? Yeah, no fun, right? Were you in that during 2008, 9,
10? No, 2014.
2014 things was like a mini. It was a little mini. Interest rates went up, so yeah. But if you were there in 2009, it would have been a ghost town, right? Yeah, brutal. And any company that makes stuff, timber, steel, chemicals, oil, any company that makes that. Why? Because as the economy is growing, more stuff is being made. So basic materials are cyclical companies. On the other side of the coin, the opposite of these are companies that are called defensive. Now, we're not talking about, don't get it confused with defense stocks. These are companies that make bullets, right? You're in tanks and aircraft carriers. But defensive stocks are stocks that hold their own, or even do well when the economy starts to falter. And they remain stable during declines in the market. They're often associated with income stocks, but not always. So, do you eat more cornflakes or Cheerios because the economy is doing well? Do you eat less cornflakes or Cheerios, right? Do you use less soap or more toilet? Well, actually, toilet paper is going through the roof now, right? I don't understand that, you know.
People have to keep their asses.
You can get some newspaper. It's not the end of the world, right?
Toilet paper feels better.
Yeah, toilet paper feels better.
What?
Use a double.
Right. Well, you heard. I haven't given you the Lena and Ollie jokes yet.
Get a bidet.
What? Get a bidet. Well, that's a significant investment. So, have you heard of Lena and Ollie jokes? They're from the Midwest. So Californians look at the Midwesterners, go, they really laugh at them. Yeah, they do. And Lena and Ollie have been married a long, long time. And they're from Norway, the old country. And so Ole went to the Sons of Canute breakfast, don't you know? And he won the door prize. It was a toilet brush. He had never seen anything like this. He was really impressed. You know, what will they think of next? But after a few weeks, he got tired of it. He went back to using paper. And Californians go, they laugh at that. Oh, yeah, it's a Minnesota joke. Okay, so defensive stocks. They actually sometimes do well in a recession. Why? Because people run away from the growth in the cyclical companies and put their money in the oatmeal companies. Yeah. And that's the juxtaposition. Now, turnarounds. I call them goners usually. Turnarounds are companies that have hit upon hard times. And what you have to ask yourself is, do you think they're going to rebound? Now, you weren't alive, but in the early 1980s, Chrysler almost disappeared. And then GM and Chrysler and Ford almost disappeared 12 years ago, 10 years ago. And both times they rebounded. So if you bought, well, GM actually went through bankruptcy. The old GM is gone. So that was a goner. But if you bought when they were very low, I think Chrysler in the 80s started at 47, went down to 3. And then when it turned, looked, then they actually turned the company around. They came out with new products, and they started a new guy named Lee Iacocca, who just passed away a couple of weeks ago. Lee Iacocca, very cool. He was the guy who was in charge of the Mustang in the 1960s. And he left Ford and went to Chrysler and turned Chrysler around. So he's an interesting guy. Look him up. Read his autobiography. Iacocca. I can't spell his name right. Just something like that. But a lot of them don't turn around. How many times have you heard about Sears and Kmart turning themselves around?
No.
It's not happening, right?
And
Blockbuster.
They still have one store.
They still have one store, Kmart?
Yeah.
Blockbuster.
I think it's in a small town.
Yeah.
No, but it's still in Mexico. Blockbuster is still in Mexico.
Really?
Yeah. And I'm sure it's not the same company. I'm sure somebody else bought them. And then JCPenney's. JCPenney's is trying to turn themselves around. Doesn't look good. Speaking of JCPenney's, there are companies that are called asset plays. Asset plays are companies that you look at the surface and you see what everybody else sees, but then there's something underneath them. An example is JCPenney. JCPenney owns an insurance company. It's very profitable. They haven't sold it yet. They probably will to stay alive. Have you ever heard of Pepsi Cola?
Yeah.
Where do they make most of their money off of? Frito-Lay. They own Frito-Lay. And they used to own Taco Smell, Pizza Crap, and Kentucky Fried Rat. But they sold them off. That's called Yum Brands now. So it's a company that you have to sort of dig deeper to find out where the real asset is. And then penny stocks. Folks, these things are frauds. They are not companies. And so we got some time for examples. And these I haven't updated it because the email that I used to get these things. Because the email that I used to get these things from is no longer. I got rid of that email. So I don't use it anymore, so I don't get them. But this is what you're going to get. Eventually, if you're involved in investing any time, for any length of time, you're going to get on somebody's mailing list or email list or whatever, and they're going to start sending these things. I used to get them in the mail, but that's too much expensive for these guys anymore. I don't get them in the mail anymore. But here's an example. Turn 0.006 cents to 6 cents in just 9 days. DPER. Could this be the next Exxon? Deep Earth Resources. Let's make it bigger. How do you make it bigger? That's how you make it bigger. Deep Earth Resources reports. Look, OTC. PK stands for pink sheets, but I don't think they use that anymore. Reports that further to the company's news release dated May 4, 2006, in which the directors announced a change in the company's name, management initiated efforts to identify acquisition and friendship opportunities within the energy sector. This does not knock on the door every day. Add DPR to your radar and now and watch it soar. It's a total scam. It's not a company. And so maybe it goes up a little bit, but then what happens? What happens? It's called pump and dump. They see people. It's still around, D30, OTC markets. And what's it worth now?
Nice.
What's it worth? Not a penny stock. It's a
it's
a 0.00000 stock. There's not even, you can't even buy it. There's no bids or asks. Wow. It hasn't been trading. And the 52-week range has gone from 0.00000 to 0.0001. So this is the kind of, these are the kind of things that they're going to try to get you to buy. And people say, well, you know, maybe I can beat them at their own game. I'll buy it, and then what they do? What do? They get a bid. Somebody buys, right? Oh, cool. They got a sucker out there. So then what they do is they raise the price, and they buy their own shares to make it look like there's activity. This is why if you ever open up an account, when you open up an account, they're going to say, do you have any other accounts? Because if you do, they're going to make sure that you're not buying and selling from yourself. That's what people do all the time. And so they raise the price. Oh, my goodness, look, they went up from 4 cents to 5 cents. And then so you buy more shares, and they go, oh, we're going to reel this guy in. And then they raise the price to 7 cents. Oh, and then you call your buddies, look what happened. This thing's going up. And then you buy more shares, and they raise to 10 cents. Oh, I'm getting rich. They raise 20, 20, 20, 22 cents. And then you go back, try to sell. What happens?
No.
They're not. They're gone. They've already disappeared. They've left San Diego. Now they're in Arizona. Then they go to Texas. You see the movies they have in New York. No, they're not New York. They're in the South. And they don't wear suits. They wear jeans and T-shirts and shorts. And these are scam artists that steal your money. Plus, the spread. People say, it's selling for 7 cents. What can I lose? They'll buy it back from you at 4 cents. So as soon as you buy it, you see how much you've lost? Because now you have to buy it back at 4 cents. So are any of my students going to get involved in penny stocks?
Hell no.
Yeah, that's it. The answer is hell no. Thank you. He's here now. You don't have to answer me anymore. Okay. And then last are foreign stocks. It used to be difficult for you to invest in companies outside the United States. But that's not true anymore. Most brokerages now have what are called international brokerage accounts that allow you to buy and sell stocks on different exchanges. Here's the kicker. You got to move your dollars into yen or move your dollars into euro or pesos. And so you have to deal with currency issues. And we talked about the currency issues. What happens if the dollar goes up? What happens to our value of our investments outside the United States? They go down. All the things being equal, and they never are. It's a seesaw. If the dollar goes down, then the value of the assets outside. Now is the dollar is really strong. Now is a great time to buy a house in Mexico. Right, it's up over 20 now, right?
Oh, yeah. I thought it was trading too.
What?
I thought it was trading too.
No. Did it hit? 21. Oh, it's close to 22. You're right, Andres.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. So now would be a great time. If you're thinking of, my wife won't move, but I would. I'm ready. What?
You still have to pay for the lease on the land.
Well, it depends on where it is, but there's ways to get around. Don't worry. They have title insurance now. You're not going to have the place pulled out from underneath you. They have title insurance, and it depends on where it is, and you either have a bank trust or you start a Mexican corporation. Anyway, what do most of us do? We buy global international mutual funds. But there are some foreign companies that you can buy on the United States exchanges. They are called American Depository Receipts, or sometimes you'll see just DRs, Depository Receipts, and sometimes you'll see GDR, Global Depository Receipts. So you've heard of Toyota, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you've heard of Toyota. And the symbol is TM for Transcendental Meditation. No, Toyota. And wait a minute. Toyota is based in Japan. Well, these are shares that are here in the United States. What someone did, it's usually a huge bank on Wall Street or maybe a global bank. They buy up a whole bunch of shares in Tokyo, and then they transport them to New York, and they reissue them dollar denominated. Does that make sense? Yes, Andres.
I like this company.
Oh, Toyota is a very good company. I know. Everyone's talking about Tesla. Tesla made what? 300,000 cars? They made their first millionth car. But last year they made like 300,000. Toyota makes that in about every 2 days.
Or 2 weeks. Bidding and ask, what? There's a multiplier.
Yeah, what? Here?
I've seen some that has a larger, for example, Coca-Cola. If bid is like times 1,300, but ask is 800. What's
okay, what is that? Now, I can't remember if it's times 1,000 or times 100. I thought it was times 1,000, but someone said, no, it's 100. I said, okay, I made a mental note to look it up, so you guys look it up. But right now, actually 15 minutes ago, there are people who will sell it to you, the asking price. Remember, think of it like the retail price, the ask price. You have to ask for it. That's how it's more expensive. There are 800 times 100 or times 1,000. I'm not sure. I have to go back and look. Shares being offered at $111.92. But remember, there's other people offering it at $11.95, $11.93. There are dozens of prices going on at any one time. But that's the best price to buy it. The best price to sell it back to the world, sell it because you're a retail investor, they're wholesale, is at 111.83. There's 800 times 100 or times 1,000, I got to go back and look, shares ready to be purchased from you, for us retail investors. So that's the spread. The spread in this case is what? 5 cents? No. No, it's higher. 83.92. That's a pretty big spread for a company like Toyota. How far? Oh, 8.5%. What? Oh, PE. Look at the PE!
It's so cheap.
Look what they're paying. 2.9%.
Look at the dividends.
Are they reinvesting or something?
Well, their dividend payout ratio is very low. Yeah. Earnings per share. But probably this is trailing 12 months. Their earnings are probably going to be a lot less. But the Japanese are very conservative. They don't like to pay out too much in dividends. They like to keep lots of money in their... That's traditionally. They're changing. They're realizing that, what are we going to do with all this cash? In 2003, Microsoft had $60 billion in the bank. I mean, how many damn times can they rewrite Word? Right? And they weren't going to pay any dividends. No, we're a growth company. And the Wall Street said, come on, give it up, will you? Reward us, shareholders. And Microsoft said, okay. They still have, I don't know how many billions of dollars. Apple has, what, $140 billion? I don't know if they still have that, but at their peak, they had $140 billion in the bank. But it wasn't in the United States. The bits are over here. It's all electronic, right? But it's right across the street, but it's a Ireland bank or whatever. Okay, cool? All right, cool. Okay. All right, so have we had time for capitalization? I think we do, yeah. But before we do that, let's go back to the worksheet. And now, now this is your assignment. In your assignment, that first assignment, that big worksheet, that big spreadsheet type assignment, the last column is, okay, what is Southwest Airlines? What is Zebra Technologies? What the hell? What do you think Zebra Technologies does? Anybody look it up yet?
Sounds shady.
Sounds shady? No, I can assure you, Zebra Technologies is not a shady company. It's actually black and white. Hint, hint, hint.
What happens to me?
What?
What do you mean from that?
Black and white.
Black and white.
They jump really
close. Barcodes.
Oh.
Isn't that a cute name? Zebra Technology makes barcode equipment. I love that. I think that's so cute. Come up with a great name. So after you've done a little bit of research, right, you found the PE and what they're paying and stuff, then look at the profile, read about the company. If you don't already know, I mean, everyone knows what Southwest Airlines is. Do you know what Neurocrine Biosciences does?
Biotech.
Yeah, they're a biotech company. So then what you're going to do is you're going to assign one of these categories, blue chip, income, growth, cyclical, defensive. Oh, speculative is not up there. Well, who is Ford? What are they? That's the problem. You know, the automobile industry is in a major transition. Everyone's talking about electric. How many electric cars are actually sold? Tiny amount. Now, not here. I don't know if you noticed, but there are Teslas everywhere in San Diego. California, Teslas are... They're like Priuses were about 10 years ago. You know, every other car was a Prius. Now every other car is a Tesla. But in the grand scheme of things, they're still tiny. But at the same time, these companies are now spending billions of dollars trying to catch up with Tesla, because Tesla is 5-6 years ahead of them. So what would you call Ford?
Cyclical.
Definitely cyclical. Definitely cyclical. But at the same time, it might be a turnaround. Because all the companies now realize they got to follow Tesla or die. We'll see. I don't know. Other people, the pundits in the industry are saying, no, Tesla's going to go bankrupt. They've been saying that for 10 years now. Yeah, right? So we'll see. Would you consider it a blue chip company?
No.
Yeah, it's been around a long time, but you're right. It's dangerous to call it a blue chip company because we don't know if Ford's going to be around in 10 years. How about Walmart?
I would say...
Definitely blue chip, right? Walmart, world's largest retailer. But a retailer is also...
Could be in danger.
dangerous. Well, because Amazon. Well, no, they're fighting Amazon. They're actually doing a pretty good job, Amazon. They snuck into India. Amazon was going to buy this big e-commerce company in India, and Walmart snuck in and bought them first. But what else? What else? What are retail companies?
Target.
Yeah. Target. When the industry's doing well, when the economy's doing well.
Their competitors are
Their competitors are
getting paid.
The mid-range, you know, the Montgomery Wards, they're gone. Yeah. Broadway's gone. Robinson's May. You probably never even heard of these places. Mervon, remember Mervon? There was Target and Mervon right next to one another. And so, yeah. And so usually retailers are cyclical. Usually. But in the last major recession, Walmart actually went up. Why? Because people went downscale. Yeah. They were no longer going to needless markup, and maybe they went to Macy's, and the people went to Macy's went to JCPenney's, and the people went to JCPenney's went down to Walmart and Target. So they're a little bit of an interesting category. What about $5?
I would say GovStar. I say a lot of people.
Well, you know, that's what they want you to think. And 10, 12 years ago, they were saying, we're going to have 40,000 stores worldwide. They're going to start. Now, they already have one corner and another corner. They're going to have them on top of one another. And then about 2 years later, they said, you know what? We're going to close 600 stores. So they're a strange category. But we could put them in growth. Would we say that they're cyclical? Do people buy more coffee because the economy's doing well? It's definitely a luxury, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's an expensive luxury that some people have to have. Some people have to buy their $5 every day.
Is it like Coke?
Coca-Cola? Yeah, I guess so, yeah. What about Sears, Kmart?
There's a goner.
Goner, right. What about General Mills? What do they make?
Defensive.
General Mills, Cheerios, Wheaties.
Defensive,
yeah, they're defensive. Food companies are typically defensive, unless they're these new, you know, hot companies that are making the latest great thing that they sell for $20 and it's worth $3. Yeah. And they're blue chip. They've been around for 100 and whatever years. What about Union Pacific Railroad?
I actually don't know about it.
What?
I mean, it'd be maybe defensive.
What? Not really. Well, they're blue chip, definitely. They're big. They're a big company. So they got their roots in deep in the economy, but it's a transport company. Before the stuff can get to where it's going to be made and then get to where it's going to be sold, it's got to get there. And so rail, freight, FedEx and UPS are often looked at as leading indicators or leading bad indicators. So they're very cyclical. But at the same time, what are railroads sitting on that was given to them 170 years ago? They've got tons of land. They own a ton of downtown San Diego. Now, I think it's Burlington that owns Santa Fe, that owns all right around the estate, the ballpark. They wanted to make a stadium there, and Union is smiling because they're gonna get $1 billion for that land. So they're an asset play. How about Michelin?
Tires?
Well, they're not going anywhere, so they're definitely blue chip. Where are they based?
They're
foreign.
Sweden?
France. La France. Yes. They're a foreign company, but they're also a cyclical company because as the economy does well, more tires, right? Exactly. Alcoa, Aluminum Corporation of America. No, but anybody who makes stuff?
Cyclical.
Yeah, cyclical. Okay. They've been around for 100 years. They're the blue chip, but they actually hit on a few hard times, and that's just because some materials are just not as, the manufacturers have found ways to get around having to use as much steel because the steel's expensive, aluminum's expensive. And then how about El Paso Electric?
Sounds like a utility company.
It's a utility company, that's right. They're defensive, right. Utilities are typically defensive. And they're also sitting on a ton of
land.
They also own a lot of land, so they're also an asset play. So you see, some companies fit into categories, and then some don't. Have you heard of General Dynamics?
Yes, sir.
What does General Dynamics make?
It's like aerospace. space and like weapons, right?
Yeah, submarines. They own NASCO.
Oh, I thought you meant Boston Dynamics.
No, not Boston Dynamics. They're the robot company.
Yeah.
Now, weren't they owned by Google, and then they sold them off or something like that? That's an interesting, because they're, I mean, it's scary. You see that robot, and he or she or it or whatever it is, it can do pretty much everything that you can do with a gun in your hand running towards people. And so I'm frightened. I don't know, you know, Terminator's coming. But defense companies, for example, we mentioned defense companies. Where do you put a company that makes aircraft carriers? Other than the fact that they're a blue chip company, they're not going anywhere.
They're
cyclical, but they don't follow the cycle of the economy. They follow geopolitical cycles. Oh, we got to buy 3 new aircraft carriers because somebody flew a plane into our... Yeah, looked at us funny, right? So, okay, cool. Okay, that was good. That was good. Okay, now. All right, so then now the next thing is capitalization. How are we doing for time? Okay. Capitalization, we'll leave about... Well, 5 minutes. It won't take more than 5 minutes. You downloaded Zoom, right? Download Zoom. There are three categories that we want you to remember. Three categories. The Papa Bear, the Mama Bear, and the Baby Bear. And that's what you can think of them like. Large, we discussed these when we got the mutual funds. That's one of the problems of doing mutual funds before we do stocks. The large cap companies, now these numbers are changing depending on who you talk to. I still use the old numbers, 10 billion and up. Anything greater than 10 billion is a large cap company. Now what you're hearing people say, oh no, it's got to be at least 15 billion. So okay, maybe I'll change. Mid cap are anywhere between say 2 or 3 billion up to 10 billion. Now you're hearing people saying, no, it's got to be at least 5 billion up to 15. So these numbers are squishy. You decide.
Squishy.
And then small cap are anything less than 2 billion. And now you hear people say, no, 5 billion. That's going to be less than 5 billion. So just remember Papa Bear, Mama Bear, and Baby Bear. Now there are two subcategories. If you remember these, great. If you don't, well, it's not, you should, because you're going to hear them. Mega cap companies are companies that are greater than $100 billion. And it used to be that, oh my goodness, $100 billion. Now we have companies that are greater than 100. Well, not after the last few weeks. So what is Apple now? Apple was like $1.3 trillion. Yeah. And then those are called mega cap. And you'll see a mega cap mutual fund, right? And then anything less than, say, about $100 million is called micro cap. And you'll see a mutual fund that says, we're a micro-cap mutual fund. But if you, they're part of, they're just a subset. They're a subset of large cap, and this is a subset of small cap. All right? And the formula is actually very easy. I'm going to ask you to do it once. That's all. You take the price of the stock times the number of shares. So if the stock were selling for $20 and there were 5 million shares, your calculator, if it's 8 digits, isn't going to be able to do it. So if you have a big calculator, you can do it. 100 million shares. Price is irrelevant. We have to look at the capitalization. So let's quickly look at Toyota. Is Toyota a large cap, mid cap, small cap? It's a large cap, and we specifically could call it a mega cap, right? What was DPER? It was market cap of $275.
Can you buy shares in that?
Well, somebody will sell them to you, yeah. Some sucker who bought them. You want to buy them?
Hell no.
Yeah. So it's worth $275. And then let's take a look at Apple, because Apple was over a trillion. Is it still over a trillion? Yeah, it's still it's on a bargain, $1.1 trillion. So we're going to ask you to find the market capitalization, but again, you don't have to do the calculation, you just type it in. Okay? All right, yeah.
I'm looking at volume, it's always changing.
Yeah, the volume's changing because of more and more, see the volume, it's how many are sold today? So far, 50 million shares, 110,000 and now 659, and it'll change in a couple seconds. That's how many shares are changing hands. And again, it's 15 minutes behind the time. And we saw the video where the computers couldn't keep up. They weren't able to keep up with the volume on that day. But that was 1987. Okay, good. So now, have you heard of Target and Walmart?
Yeah.
Look at the price. Do you think these companies are the same size? No. No. You see, what we don't know is how many shares. So it turns out there's 3 billion shares of almost of Walmart and only 500 million shares of Target. So Walmart is, and this is a few weeks ago, it's probably a lot less now, but Walmart is a mega cap company. I mean, Target's no slouch. It's a large cap company, but it's 1/6 the size. Okay.
The stock has been growing for the last past year.
What, Target?
Yeah.
Target's a very profitable company.
It is.
Yeah. AT&T and Verizon. Do you think Verizon's bigger than AT&T?
I don't think so.
No. It turns out they're about the same size because there's 7 billion shares of AT&T and only 4 billion shares of Verizon. And so AT&T is a little bigger. Both mega cap companies.
What concerns me about AT&T is debt.
Well, yeah, they've taken on a lot of debt. Why'd they do it? Because the interest rate was so low. They said, hey, let's load up on debt. Hey. Now, I don't think it's very smart.
Yeah.
But they can, hey, look at all the cash. We can do all these things and then piss it all away. But I'm more debt averse personally. But other people say, no. It's cheap. We can pay it back. No problem. Don't worry about it.
Until they can't,
right? And when they can't, then it's not their problem. They're gone. They got their golden parachute. They're gone. We're at. After
the recently, Toys R Us.
Toys R Us?
Yeah, they couldn't refi their debt.
Poof.
There they go.
Yeah. Well, someone's trying to bring them back. I thought I read something. Someone's trying to bring Toys R Us back. Okay, and then on your own, you have plenty of time. I want you to go through the next section of the different strategies. And hint, there's only one that's really worth anything, and that's the buy and hold. Okay, now, get your smartphones out.
Why?
Why not? Because when we next meet again, we're going to be online. Can you dig it? Let's see if I can get this to work. It works at home. I will be home, you will be home, or wherever you happen to be. And we will meet online using Zoom. Now, first of all, do I have a... Where's my wireless? Identifying. Okay, I'm connected to the public. And I'm going to go to Zoom. Where's Zoom? Where'd it go? Aha, there it is. Ask me if I know what I'm doing.
No.
Hell no!
Oh,
right, thank you. Why didn't I check this beforehand? I don't know why. Well, that's why. I didn't want to run my own battery. Okay. So now, if you go to... Oh, before we do that, we're looking at... Oh, we're still looking at that guy. Let's go to the website. What's the website?
Zoom.
No wonder, Professor. Yeah, you're going to go to Zoom, yeah. You're going to go to Zoom, but first go to Wonder Professor. And there is the, if you go to Zoom directly, they're going to ask you for the ID number. There's the ID number. But you don't have to. You can just go right here and click on this guy. And so I'll click on it right now. And the first time you click on it, it's going to ask you to accept. And then, oh, it's going to let me download. Oh, so I don't even have to use my laptop. It's going to let me download. Okay, cool. So it's going to ask you, hey, I need you to let me download the client or the application. And some of you have already done that, right? So the first time you go there, it's going to download. Then you don't download it again. You just do it once. So I thought these machines would be locked down, but they're not. So I'm going to load up Zoom on this machine and forget my laptop. Okay, so yes, I want you to load Zoom, or maybe it won't let me. We'll see what happens. Now it's letting me. So you got to create a Zoom account. Okay. And I don't know, is it working? Connecting? All right. So now I'm going to log in. I don't want to test. Oh, you know what? The problem is these things don't have audio, so I really shouldn't use this. Let me go to my thing here. Okay. Go to the laptop. Can you see me? Yeah. So now this is my account. I'm already in. And so it's the virtual office, and I'm going to start it. So you're seeing me right now, right? There we go. Okay, good. You are using the computer audio. Now, when you go to this website, or you go to Zoom and type in 212-931-852, you're going to show up here. And you put in your name, or it'll just choose your name. And then we're going to have our class at 8:35 on Tuesday morning. And you can show up there. I'll record it, of course. As we said, all the presentations are online. Anybody in yet? Anybody in yet? Oh, here's somebody. Skin deep. Who's that? Is that you? Okay, cool. So he's able. Yeah, but you got a laptop or an iPad.
What's the meeting ID?
What? The meeting ID is, it's up there. Let me write it down. And it's on the web. Remember, it's on the website. 212-931 and then 852. You hear what's happening now? His thing is picking up my voice and my thing is paying. If we weren't in the same room, I would hear what he has to say. He would hear what I have to say. So now Janet's on, the CEO of Burger King. So you see what's going on here? And I'll be standing in my orifice at home. I'll be doing the presentation. Because it is so inopportune. This is such a bad time for us to have this. Because we are going to, you're studying chapter 5, right? Study chapter 5. Okay, hi. Because we're ready for chapter 6. Dear students, this is the heart of the class. You understand these concepts, these techniques, and you will be the most awesome, awesome investors. And the problem is we're going to do it remotely. Well, at least next week. And we're supposed to come back after the spring. Then we have spring break. Remember, all the presentations are online. You have all spring break. Did I show you the picture of Lydia? I didn't show you the picture of Lydia. She promised me that she was going to study when she was in Puerto Vallarta. And she sent me this picture of her. I'm going to be in Zihuatanejo. Unless I'm not. That's the thing. I might not be in Zihuatanejo. Okay. Let me spell her name. Oh, poop. That cool? Okay, one. So you see how we go. Where's Lydia?
And so we can see
you. Oh, I can see you too. If you have your video on, it's up to you if you put your video on. Where is it? Oh, I gotta go. Wait. Public. Where'd she go? Did I delete her from the? Oh, here, Lily. I'm sorry, Lily. Go back to him. Ah, poop. Oh, come on, I've told you. What's the matter with you? Oh, here it is. And there's Lily. So she oh, you can't see. Oops. I turned the projector off. I didn't mean. And so, oh, you can't see her very well. But there she is reading One Up on Wall Street in Puerto Vallarta. So promise me you're going to be going through the presentations that we missed, doing the worksheets. We'll meet next week and clean up a little bit of Chapter 5. But then we're ready for Chapter 6. And this is the most important chapter of the entire semester. So please do your best. We know this is a massive inconvenience. But at the same time, some of us are old. You guys don't have to worry. You get the COVID, you'll be fine. Some of us old folks, we're for the hospital. It's a scary thought, you know. Yeah. But very, very few young people are dying.
Yeah.
Old folks. No, not 20%. No, 20% of people over 85. It's 20% of people over 85. Yeah, 20% of people over 85 are dying, but it's like 0.2% of people under 25 are dying. So, yeah, it's not very you guys are strong. So study. We'll see you online Tuesday. We'll have a great spring break where you can catch up. Turn in those assignments, even if they're late. Check out Canvas. Stay healthy. Okay, who snuck in late? Okay, wait.